Good morning. So, as Maxine said, we're on session 5 of the Talking Jesus series. I do have a clicker. It's always the thing of, you know, is it going to work? And we're going to talk about God's stories today. But actually, so I'm just a quick recap. So on week 1, Adam gave us a quick intro on what the series is about and gave us some really encouraging statistics about what the landscape looks like at the moment and why we should be talking to people. Then we've had week 2, that was me, with what motivates us and what's behind, why should we be doing this. Living distinctly was week 3, I think it was Adam again. I was out with the kids. And then week 4 last week was our story, so I hope you've all done your homework. Which was about, you know, thinking about your own testimony or what you would share with other people. And just a reminder that testimony doesn't need to mean how you became a Christian 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's about testifying what God's done in your life. That could have been yesterday. So, you know, it doesn't have to be that long ago. And I know then we had a lively discussion in small group about testimonies and kind of going around and everybody sharing. So you should do that in your own small groups as well. It's really helpful. Actually, before I start, I know you mentioned earlier, has anyone got anything to share this week that's happened? I love having that because it encourages people. I know Zoe does. Come on, share what happened to Zoe this week. About talking to people. So and I love having at least one of those.
Hello. Hi. I had a man come around my house this week. It was a work man. He's a bit older than me, a really nice guy, came in and just started talking a lot right from the beginning, but then apologised, saying that he struggles with anxiety, and I just put him at his ease and said, you know, me too as well sometimes, and don't worry, and I don't mind you talking. And he came in at Carpenter to, like, measure up a job, but he actually ended up staying for a really long time just talking, and I just decided to be a safe space, just to be listening, really, and accepting him. And within what he said, because I think I might have thought I could mention faith here. I suppose it's a tiny bit of our story, just the fact that I believe in God. So it might have started with me saying a little nudge in that direction, but he told me he'd gone to a Christian's house before, and they had said, oh, you've got the devil on your arm, I'll pray for you, and it was a tattoo. So kind of, I suppose, in a threatening way, like, I'll pray for you because you need it. And I just thought, I really want to re-represent God for him. So by the end of lots of listening, just accepting him as he is, just talking about his tattoo and why he got it, he just liked the picture. I just thought, the best way I know is just to offer to pray. So I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. So I just prayed a blessing on him and those kind of positive things, really, to represent God. And then after sharing this with a couple of people, Adam said, give the man a Bible. So I'm going to take this one home and give that.
Thank you. And that's exactly, and actually when Zoe shared this with us, she said, oh, you know, like having all of this in the back of my head of what we've been talking about for the last few weeks kind of gave her the nudge to, actually, I should. So, you know, I hope that is, I love having every week at least one story on, you know, what we can do and how easy it can be to share who we believe in. So today we're looking at connecting our story, which is where your homework comes in, to God's story. But let's start with God's story. What is it? You know, sometimes it's described as the good news and is like so big in the actual... It's still in there. So it's like, you know, we're being ambassadors for Christ, actually. That was what Zoe did. We're ambassadors for Christ and showing people what God can be like. The gospel story, so, you know, in a simplified way, you've got creation, God made the earth, then we have the fall, redemption and hope, and it's in a nutshell. But actually, we've done this with River Kids a few, probably months ago, and I love kids' work because it's explained so simply, and I don't want to, you know, diminish the word of God and the Bible, but if you've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, you can easily forget how much jargon we use and how difficult it can be to make it really simple for someone who doesn't know anything about God's story. So we made salvation bracelets with the kids, and this has really stuck in my head, and I've, you know, I I've been waiting for a moment to do kids' work in main church. So bear with me, but actually I think you will find this helpful. And if you're new to church, I hope this is what you take away, you know, kind of as a simple version, and you can dig deeper into it. So we make these bracelets, and each colour bead has a different meaning. So we start with gold, which is God made the world, and it was all good. And then it goes black, because we messed up. Adam and Eve came, sin entered the world, and it all got messed up. And then Jesus came, that's red. Jesus came and he died and took all the sin on his shoulders. But then it goes white because he didn't stay dead. He came back and he rose again. And then we have green because with Jesus rising again, you know, he's given us a new life here on earth as well as the hope of eternal life. So it's really God made the earth, we messed up, Jesus came, he and died, he rose again, and now we have a hope. It's like, is that simple? That it can be that simple of this is God's story. Obviously, there's a lot more that happens in between there, but for someone who's never heard of Jesus or this story, this is enough for them to comprehend, actually, this is the crux of what we believe in. And I think at this point, we'll watch the video and see what the Talking Jesus Chord has to say to us about this. And we'll chat some more after that.
Today, I'm here in East Sussex to meet Frank, a keen gardener and a brilliant storyteller.
I go into schools telling the stories of the Bible to children. So I've always got to have something that's a bit different that they didn't expect me to do.
We're going to be looking at how to share God's story with those around us.
God's story is an invitation. God invites us to bring our lives into his story and find out how good news that is.
I'm going to meet Siobhan, who is great at talking about Jesus to her friends and family and those she knows in her community.
Around here, a lot of sharing your faith is just living out the gospel, really. Someone shared the gospel with me at the age of 15, and I think it's the same thing. If we don't speak to people, they may never get to know Jesus.
This is Talking Jesus, training Christians to share their faith. So God's story, the gospel, I mean, it's so amazingly wonderful that actually it's quite hard to put into words, but that's exactly what you do.
It is. I try to incorporate his story into my work, so much so that, you know, if I weren't to include it, he's such a part of who I am that it would almost be hiding a part of my story.
So this is an epic sculpture. Now, what inspired your work?
I wanted to share God's story, and I wasn't really sure how to do it. So I just spent some time asking God, you know, show me and give me wisdom on how do I share your story? And it just started sketching. And this first piece symbolizes the spark of creation, where God brought us into a relationship with him, and we had that close communion and walk with him. And then that darkness entered the world, and we were separated from him. But he had a plan, and it came through at Golgotha, which is where Jesus was crucified, to bring us back into that closeness and relationship with him.
So you're working on a piece at the moment. What is this?
So this is about making all things new. So this was kind of recycled pieces that are coming together and kind of showing the hope that we have in our broken world that God has a plan for us.
It's lovely. Well, I'm going to let you get on with that, and hopefully you'll see a bit more later on.
All right.
Frank.
Hey.
Hey.
You've come to do some gardening.
I have.
Fabulous.
Good to meet you.
I was looking for some help.
Today I'm here in East Sussex to meet Frank, a keen gardener and a brilliant storyteller.
So, Frank, you tell lots of different parts and pieces of God's story to different people.
I do. So I divide my time half and half. Partly I'm a gardener, and the other half I'm a schools worker, so I go into schools telling the stories of the Bible, telling Christian stories to children.
So what have you learned about telling God's story?
Well, I think I'm mainly doing it to children, but it's true, I think, for anybody, any age. If I come in to the children, I need to have an element of surprise, because otherwise, immediately, they will switch off and say, this man is boring, we don't want to listen to him. So I've always got to have something that's a bit different that they didn't expect me to do. That's really good. And I had to rework my vocabulary, because I was so used to talking to Christians about Christian things. And then you stand there with a group of 8 and 9-year-olds, they're all looking at you, but they don't know these words. They don't mean anything to them. And I think that's increasingly true of anybody in society.
What would be the best way to choose the right piece or the right story for me then?
Well, I think on the one hand side, you know your friends and you know the things that are going on in their lives. But the other is as well, I kind of reread the Bible with a new focus. Reading it, thinking, okay, what of this can a non-Christian actually understand and apply? And I suddenly found there were many things that a child would also be interested in. What do I do with my friends? How do I deal with conflict? What about my future? And there are answers in the Bible about these things, and you can actually portray Christian content in a way that makes sense to people, rather than just being a faith message that they cannot comprehend, that's totally alien to them. So it takes a bit of work, but it's possible.
That's great. No, I appreciate it.
Okay, so you're going to do some gardening?
Yeah.
Here's the spade.
Okay.
I'll go and get the wheelbarrow.
Yeah, great.
So in the last session, we were talking about our stories, but in this session, we're talking about God's story, but still keeping it linked to our story.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think as we've seen, we're just ordinary, everyday people, but it's God's story that's the important thing. And the Apostle Paul says, he says, we're like jars of clay, pretty plain and ordinary on the outside, but God's story, that's what we want to communicate to people.
Yeah. So in our everyday conversation, just using normal words, what are we trying to say?
Well, we know God's story is such good news. Mm. But our challenge is to not give that like a lecture, not like a load of information. God's story is an invitation. God invites us to bring our lives into his story and find out how good news that is. So our job is to show how relevant God's story is to everyone's everyday lives.
I mean, so that's really key, because when Jesus told God's story, he always kept it relevant to whoever was listening. So to farmers, he told agricultural parables, and to lawyers, he used language of the law. But how do we, when we're telling God's story, keep it relevant to the people we're talking to?
Yeah, well, I think, imagine it like joining the dots, right? We've got to start with the person we're talking to and their story, and then our job is to join the dots from their story to God's story, from the themes going on in their world to the truths of God's story. And that means, firstly, we've got to listen, right? We've really got to listen to what are the hopes and dreams or fears and challenges in their story, in their world. And then when we really listen, we'll be able to make the connections to God's story and show why God's story is such good news for their story. So it's joining the dots.
Yeah, it's all about finding the common ground. But okay, everyone's different. So some people who, you know, they really know that there's something not right in their lives.
God's story immediately connects to those who basically say, I'm tired of my story. I want to live a new story. I want to have forgiveness for the past, so that can be a closed chapter. And I want to live a new life in the future. And so where people are living with brokenness and really want their lives to change, God's story is immediately good news. I was thinking earlier of the work Emily's doing. She's taking rubbish and recycling it into something new and beautiful. And I think our God is into recycling, right? He takes the rubbish and the things we would write off and he makes something new out of it. Now, where people feel that's what they need, God's story is such good news.
Okay, so here's a challenge, something that, you know, can be potentially quite difficult, is people who feel like there's absolutely no need in their life. What have we got to offer them?
Well, we may need to start a bit further back there, but there's still points of connection. You know, I think everyone has had moments of wonder, beauty, and thought there must be someone behind this, you know, and that connects to God as creator. And then equally, everyone experiences really tough times, frustrations, pain, suffering. And in those moments, people feel like this world needs to change. And again, that's connection to God's story. He's brought change into our world through Jesus.
Sometimes, even when we know everything we want to say, we don't know which parts to include, what to keep in, what to leave out.
Yeah, we don't need to feel the pressure to say it all, right? I mean, God's story is large and all-encompassing, but we could just share the bit that's relevant, the bit that will be good news for the person we're talking to. And in the Bible, you see this happening. Often when the story is shared, it's just the relevant piece.
Yeah, and there's actually a part of the Talking Jesus research, isn't there, that talks about how powerful the Bible is.
There is. I mean, we might just share a verse of the Bible when we're sharing God's story and leave that. We might give someone a gospel to read and they can read about Jesus. We don't need to give the whole thing in one sitting.
Yeah. I'm now going to meet Siobhan, who is great at talking about Jesus to her friends and family and those she knows in her community. How do you find it, sharing your faith among the people in the community, among your friends and your family? And
so around here, a lot of sharing your faith is just living out the gospel, really. When I first became a Christian, a lot of people were laughing or just didn't care or didn't want to hear about Jesus. So I just started living it. And eventually they started asking me to pray for them for different things.
And how do you find people respond to that?
Sometimes they love, sometimes they want to listen, and sometimes they were like, oh, not today, Siobhan. And right. That's about it.
But it doesn't stop you from?
Oh, no, not at all. It will never stop me from sharing.
So if anyone was watching this course, praying for their friends, thinking about sharing their faith, what encouragement would you give to them?
Generally, I would just say just live out your faith. Just everyday principles, find opportunities to share the gospel. But I really live by John chapter 4. So Jesus and the woman of the well, one of the things I love about that scripture is that they were doing ordinary things. So Jesus was waiting for the woman poured out the water, but as they were having a conversation, Christ was being revealed, and she then went on to tell her whole neighborhood about Christ. And I think that's the same thing for us. We just use small things to reveal Christ.
If you had one final piece of encouragement to just encourage people to talk to their friends and family and to just go for it, what would it be?
I would just encourage people to share the gospel. Someone shared the gospel with me at the age of 15, which changed my life forever. And also that's allowed me to share the gospel with my friends who have now come to faith. And I think it's just so important. If no one's spoken to me, I wouldn't be who I am today and I wouldn't know Jesus. And I think it's the same thing. If we don't speak to people, they may never get to know Jesus.
Oh, Emily, this is looking fantastic. So if you were to hang this in an exhibition hall, what would you say about it?
I would say the Creator God makes all things new, and that things that even have been used or seemingly lost their purpose can have new meaning and value in Him.
So, Andrew, where do we go from here?
Well, we've talked about God's story, and I think, firstly, gratitude. I mean, we've heard some amazing stories of lives transformed, just like this artwork tries to convey. It's about brokenness to wholeness, and we should be grateful that our stories have become part of God's story. And then out of that gratitude, a real concern to share that story with others. So let's pray. Let's pray for opportunities to talk about God's story. And let's also pray for the wisdom to know how to join the dots and show how God's story is good news for everyone's story. So let's go for it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go.
So I don't know about you, but I found that really helpful, especially as I've watched it third time now. So I encourage you to watch them more often. Actually, they're all on our website, all the talks up till now with the videos. And sometimes watching something again actually really sinks in. Does anyone want to share something that they found, you know, most encouraging from this video or that they connected with? I thought, it's Richard. Where is he? Like, I thought he might connect with the artwork. Oh, okay. It's like, because I thought, you know, for me, the artwork is like a bit like, oh, I don't really get that for myself because I'm not such an arty person. But some people who connect through art would find that really helpful. Anyone else, anything? It's page 3. So for anyone on Zoom who didn't hear that, and for the recording, this is about Christian jargon and how we use words and adapt them to people. Anyone else, anything? Oh, hang on.
I just like the idea of just living it out in among your community. You don't necessarily have to engage with everybody, but people will notice what you're doing.
And taking that on from that, that girl who was living in the community and talking about her faith and having become a Christian at 15, what struck me was that people saw her and saw the change in her life, and that led to conversations. And it reminded me of the power of transformation, that actually when God does come into your life, he does actually change you. And people can see that. And whether they acknowledge it or not, there is a powerful starting point in a conversation through what God has done in your own life.
Anyone else? Oh.
The things that really struck me were the words listen and link. The listening to your friend or your acquaintance, whoever you're talking to, listen to what they're saying about what their interests are, what's going on in their lives, and finding a way to link God's story to their story. Yeah.
Do you want to say something, Andrew? Yeah. Yes. Let me come.
I was having a talk earlier this week with one of the home groups, and it was about relevance, and it was about something of the way that we communicate in a non-jargon way. Because if you start to, you had a slide earlier that said redemption means pretty much nothing to most people. You know, what does that actually mean? And one of the things that I just from this morning is I think we need to be vulnerable. You know, we haven't got all the answers. We can't just suddenly snap our fingers and say, you know, we've got it all taped. And I think when there's an authenticity in that that says, do you know what, I'm struggling with this as well. You know, I think someone said about anxiety and just aligning ourselves with that. But God walks with me in this. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, in this world you will have trouble. And we all have trouble. But when we communicate something of what drives us, because we've been grateful, as they said, because your praise will always be on my lips, as we sang earlier, that says, in the middle of this, even although I'm struggling, you're still able to see that actually God is meeting me in this, and that's something you haven't got. And I think that's infectious.
Very true. Oh, Janet.
Yes, on that video, that Bible verse just kept coming to me. What we have freely been given, freely give. Yeah.
Oh, Zoe.
And again, the girl who became a Christian at 15, who said, if they hadn't told me, I wouldn't know Jesus. And he does place it in our hands to tell people. So what we're giving is actually a really good gift. So it's not something that we have to feel awkward about when we're introducing Jesus to someone, but we can think, I'm being really kind. I'm offering you like a really good gift.
Very good. Thank you. Actually, what I wrote down was exactly what you said about listening. I mean, God gave us two ears and one mouth. So we should do more listening than speaking. It's about once you actually listen to that person, then you get an opportunity to connect their story with your story and God's story. Whether that's something that's resolved for you or something you're walking through, or like Zoe said, you know, I suffer with the same thing, but I have something that can, you know, helps me. And quite often I said it before, I was like, I don't know how people without God do this. Because there's so many things in life that life throws at you, and just the faith carries you through and helps you, you know, get through the troubles that get thrown at you. I just wanted to give you an example of connecting the dots, as they said earlier. So I get people talk to me knowing that I'm a Christian, because I find it easy because I wear stuff that says I'm a Christian on my back, on T-shirts. And it's taken me a while to realize that's why people so openly speak to me, because they know who I am and they know what I stand for. Actually, you know, I'm not telling you all to go and buy something that says I'm a Christian, but it does help. And I sometimes forget what I'm wearing. I've had one, so now you can talk to that lady, she's a Christian. I'm like, what? And it's like, oh, yeah, okay. So it does help. But, you know, someone comes to me and tells me they've been made redundant, for example, something that happens a lot in today's world. And they're worried about having a job and not finding a job. And I can say I fully understand. I've been there. I was made redundant. And, you know, coming out of maternity leave, so it's like, oh, what am I going to do now? But I know, well, they know that I believe in Jesus. So it says in the Bible that Jesus is our comforter and our provider. So I sought comfort in the knowledge that Jesus will provide. And he did. You know, I prayed about it, and he gave me peace that I really didn't have to spend all my time worrying. And then he provided me with a new income stream. You know, it might not have been what I expected, but it was what I needed, and actually was so much better than what I thought it would be. And then you can ask him, can I pray for God to do the same for you? So it's like connecting their story, being made redundant, with my story and my experience, what God did in that instance, and then offering to pray. It's completely non-threatening and can be a really good way of just showing God's love. And then you have to have the faith that God will show up, because he will, because he's good like that. So, you know, you could, using God's story in that way with something from the Bible, or as they said earlier about, you know, that we all go through trials. You know, we have the fall and we need redemption, where all of this with God's story comes in. But hopefully giving people hope in the process. That's what we want to give people hope. So today, rather than getting into groups, I have a challenge for you all to do on your own. So you'll need a pen and paper, or your phone, a journal. I have some pens and pieces of paper down here if you don't have one. I just need you to jot some thoughts down. But I don't know about you, but I found the gardener most helpful in this. Not because he sounded German, but I did find him really helpful about the jargon again, as Paul said. And when we think about how would we describe God's story and what God has done for us, with using different words and cutting out all the jargon. So in kids' work, we often pause and ask the kids, actually, do you know what that word means? Because often they don't. We use it all the time, but they don't know. So the gardener's advice is keep it simple. And what I'd like you to write down is, what would you say if someone asked you, what do you believe? You know, what vocabulary would you use? This is where my husband comes in. He loves praying the blood on Jesus over things. And when I first became a Christian, it was like, ew! what? Blood on me? But it's like, you know, just put yourself in the shoes of someone that doesn't know anything about the blood of Jesus. It's really weird. So let's not be weird. You can do that later in church. But, you know, it's like you can go with, oh, I believe Jesus is my saviour and he died and his blood washed away my sins and then rose again and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. All of this is just jargon for people. They don't understand. You know, I did this for myself as a challenge, and I ended up with something very simple. That is, since I've become a Christian, I have experienced so much hope and peace and joy, and even though all the things that life has thrown at me. And that is what I believe, that God gives me this peace and joy and hope. So off you go. Make some notes and write down what you think would be easily digestible if someone asked you that question. What do you believe? What is God's story for you? And Lina, would you come up and just play for maybe 5 minutes? And then we'll go back into worship. So if anyone then still wants to carry on mulling it over, they can do so. And if you're done, you can carry on worshiping.